What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List podcast. It's Brian and Eric here to go deep diving in the ranks. We've got a, you know, there's a handful of games, handful of players that really need a couple extra conversations for. So we brought in, some of the best in the business here, right here. Come on, Eric. How's it going tonight?
It's going well. We're recording live while the Giants are at least sniffing around an upset on Thursday Night Football. So will be only moderately distracted. May or may not be the reason why Jay Felicio is here tonight, but I'm stoked to be hopping on and talking a little ball with you, Brian.
Right. He says illness is the reason he couldn't be here, but yeah, it might have been he's feeling sick from the score. It's oh, never mind. Eagles just took the lead. It's short-lived. chopping it up with Mario, going through the matchups this week. There were a handful of games we definitely needed a little bit more time on. Definitely need to comb through here. I guess the thing that really jumped out at me this week, we have a lot of high over-unders. Just like Monday night alone, we've got two at 49. We've got the Lions-Chiefs at 52. We've got some beefy games here. So hopefully we get a bit of a bounce back here as far as the scores go from last week.
Yeah, it looks like it's setting up for it, right? And for me, it's kind of a polarized week, right? We got a lot of like 48, 49, 50 plus, and then a lot of like 41, 42s and a couple of high 30s sprinkled in there, right?
So yeah, look at the Browns and the Steelers
out there, but we'll be finding some fun in these faster paced games for sure.
Absolutely. Let's start off with the running backs here, kind of combing through the ranks, looking at some of these players. There's a few that jumped out to me. Let's start with Derrick Henry. You know, just the easiest of running backs to decipher at this point. Probably not now. Lamar looks like to be out for this game. They are playing the Rams. So where is your confidence level in playing Derrick Henry?
Pretty low. I think I was the low man on Derrick Henry amongst our QB list rankers this week. I've got him all the way down at RB15, despite kind of popular sentiment out there. This is very little to do with his productivity when he actually has the ball in his hand, despite the fact that he is older than dirt. He still looks as explosive and elusive and problematic as he ever has. But the issues of old with Derrick Henry are still presenting themselves. He is not involved enough as a pass catcher to deliver you the type of floor you need to be ranked as an RB1, right? So last week was a prime example of it. If he did not eke his way into the end zone to save his fantasy production, you are very upset that you started him in that case. And with how horrific this Ravens defense has been, with how ineffective the Cooper Rush version of the offense is heading into a pretty tough matchup against the Rams defense. Not exactly the type of spot where I want to fire up a running back who does almost nothing as a pass catcher.
Yeah, Rams right now are number one against running back, allowing just 13 points to the running back position as a whole. Honestly, I'd be impressed if Derrick Henry got 13 points in this game. Justice Hill is going to be out there for probably 50% of the snaps, unfortunately. So I'm right there with you as far as like just the – I'm nervous. But where does that line draw? Like if you were able to pick up Rico Dowdle, I mean, I'm starting Rico above Derrick Henry, as weird as that is to think of.
I am as well, right? It is wheels up on Rico Dowdle for as long as Chuba Hubbard is out of the mix and potentially even after he gets back. I think he's played well enough, granted, in a one-game sample size – to earn himself an expanded role from what he had previously. But if Juba's not out there, Rico Dowdle is one of the volume floor kings that we're looking for that clearly has enough gas in the tank to pop off for a spike week when he's getting that type of workload.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. The 200 yards I walked away with last week, that's just, it was great. Especially getting out off the waiver wire, folks. You have to love that. Let's talk Michael Carter here, playing the Indy. Indy's decent against the running back, not great, not bad. Where does that sit as far as the Derrick Henry? Like, would you play Michael Carter if you had him over Derrick Henry? Or is that getting too cute?
I think it's getting a little bit too cute. If for no other reason that I think we're still going to see at least a multi-way split, if not potentially a three-way split in this Arizona backfield, right? Amari DiMarcato obviously had the boneheaded fumble that that rocked the fantasy and Arizona faithful worlds respectively. But ultimately, with Michael Carter, talking about a guy who got an opportunity and made the most of it, but who has been a career backup, a guy that hasn't been able to break through off of this team's practice squad until two guys in front of him went down. So it's moreover, I just don't want to take it for granted that this is his job until I see the workload replicate.
I think it's the hardest part is the fact that we do have that murkiness with the DeMercado situation. Like, they said he's not going to get punished, but does he get punished? Does he see a reduction in snap just out of the petty instead of the coach? Like, he had to fork over 100K, you know? So, like, I think that just really I go back and forth. I'm flip-flopping here like crazy. Other names around here, would you pay I think I'm digging too deep here. But Kendre Miller, if we don't have Alvin Kamara out there this week, would you play Kendre Miller over Derrick Henry?
Yeah, no Kamara would be wheels up for Kendre Miller for me. I mean, he's already kind of outshining him in terms of his productivity. Actually, I heard a stat, I wish I could recall where. This last game, this week five game, was only the second time in Alvin Kamara's career where a second running back produced more yards on the ground than he did. You have to go all the way back to his days splitting carries with Mark Ingram there in New Orleans to find that. So Kendre Miller has been earning a bit more workload, and it looks like he got a little bit more juice. Also in this Kellen Moore offense, they don't really throw to the running back quite as much as we've grown accustomed to with Kamara. So I think his arrow is pointing down, and now if in this hypothetical world he's out, that is a massive workload for Kendre Miller to really establish himself with.
It's a little heartbreaking to think, like, we could be coming to the end for Alvin Kamara. You know, he's just been a staple. He's been so consistent for so long, and yeah, could be over.
Life comes at you fast.
It does. It does. Especially when I start looking back at the amount of running backs I've, you know, played in fantasy over the years. I'm like, goodness, that's a name.
We'll always have that Christmas Day game, right?
I love it. Absolutely love it. Pretty sure he beat me in one of those games. But let's get down here to the nitty gritty. Some of these like fringe RB2, RB3s. These are RB3s here. But we had Amari Hampton hit the IR this week. Devastating. You know, when you stack that on to the multiple left tackles that they've lost, the right tackle they lost. This team is hurting. Justin Herbert, we're fingers crossed for you, buddy. But I guess, did you have a favorite between Vidal or Haskins as far as the play this week?
I think it's going to be a little bit murky, right? Ultimately, I think we see a pretty considerable split between the two. If I had to prognosticate and try to forecast how it breaks down, I think we'll see Haskins see more work and probably be the favorite if they're able to make their way into scoring position. He's just that big bodied bruiser who can, you know, can move a pile as he gets ahead of steam. You obviously have the ties to Harbaugh there from their Michigan days. And also, I might have missed reporting on this, at least as of the last time I looked, he was the only running back on the Chargers active roster. They had been calling up Vidal from the practice squad over these last prior weeks. I would assume they do so as well. But I also think that's a bit of an indication of how they feel about these players' skill sets. So you're certainly speculating. I am in making this analysis, but I feel fairly confident that Haskins will be on the right side of the split, and he will get the goal line work that is coveted in this juicy matchup against the Dolphins D. So he's someone that I'm firing up anytime touchdown tickets on. I've got him in touchdown pick'em contests. I think Haskins can find the box this week, but we shall see.
It's kind of the unfortunate thing about this matchup is we might not actually learn anything after this game just because the Dolphins are so bad that we might actually get production out of these running backs, and we still don't quite know, have a comfort of which one to start. I'd agree. I think it's going to be Haskins if I'm picking one. If you're in that pickle of having to play these players, though, are you playing Haskins or... Well, let's get gross. Let's go with the Kansas City fellows. You playing Haskins over Pacheco and or Hunt?
I think I would. Yeah. I've got Haskins pretty low down the board, largely because of it being the first pass at rankings. I would expect him to move up pretty considerably as we revamp those tomorrow. But Yeah, that Kansas City situation is a tough scene, right? You're already splitting carries between Hunt and Pacheco. You also have Breshard Smith looming and Patrick Mahomes deciding that he wants to get busy with his legs all of a sudden as well. So if nothing else, I'll take the guy in the better matchup and who's likely in a two-way split instead of a three- or four-way split.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I don't like having to play the Kansas City guys. Like, now all of a sudden Pacheco's getting targets and the goal line work's going to Hunt. Like, how are you supposed to pick between the two? It's horrible.
Just guess.
Right. Haskins or Zach Charbonnet, the 8-10 point wonder.
Oh boy.
Yeah, we're digging in here.
They're going to be probably pretty close to each other when we reset ranks here. I'd err on the side of Charbonnet, honestly. I think that this is going to be somewhat of a high-scoring affair there in Jacksonville, maybe a sneaky highest-scoring game of the week potential. And okay. With Charbonnet, while he's in a split, you know what his role is, right? He very much so is the passing down back. He very much so is the red zone and goal line back. Those are obviously very high-value opportunities in the fantasy context. So both splitting. I think we've seen how Seattle wants to deploy these running backs, whereas we are merely speculating on the Chargers side of that equation.
100%. That's kind of what I'm trying to avoid. I did go out and try to acquire both these running backs pretty cheaply. I wasn't really willing to invest in these guys just with the unknowns, this offensive line. If anything, I think Ladd and Keenan are the main beneficiaries of this whole interaction. Let's talk a little wide receiver here, just in regards to that. Haskins or Jacoby Myers? Do you want to just get nasty with the flex plays?
I'll go Jacoby Myers there. Nice. Another year with Myers, just sneakily steady, nice production. If the Raiders are going to be scoring, he's on the short list of candidates to find his way into the end zone. So I'll go Myers in that case.
That's what I need. I need the vote of confidence here in Myers. I was pretty excited about him coming into the year. Over the last 2 weeks, wide receiver 62, wide receiver 58. Geno has not been great, but they're playing the Colts this week. If you can beat the Colts anywhere, it's through the wide receivers. Jacoby should be going up there, but I am struggling to find a way to put him into my lineup. So I like a little nod of confidence there as far as just that versus the murkiness of the Haskins situation. Let's get really murky here. We had a trade just, was it last night, day before? I don't remember when it actually got the trigger pulled. But Joe, we've got Joe back behind center for the Bengals. Different Joe.
Broadway Joe Flacco. Joe's back.
that Joe. I guess it's the first quarterback ever with a Super Bowl ring to take snaps for the Bengals, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, ooh, God, you got to be down bad there, Bengals. But Joe Flacco, how much are you... Your thoughts on these pass catchers, on the running backs? Where does Joe Flacco, is it inflated? Is this just a sell high window for you? Are you optimistic?
A little bit of everything. I think it does open up a sell high window when previously that was firmly slammed shut. In the places where I have Bengals offensive weapons, I'm not necessarily trying to sell them because the sentiment is still down bad, right? You'd be getting a couple of pennies on the dollar instead of a penny on the dollar. But if you're sick of it, you don't want to roll the dice anymore. This is probably your chance to do it. But also, I think the arrow points up ever so slightly for this offense with not Broadway Joe under the center relative to Jake Browning, right? A lot of the advanced metrics, EPA per play, turnover worthy plays, all of these are fairly similar between the two. But what was clear with Jake Browning in the 2025 edition that we didn't see in years past is he was very trepidatious about not creating turnovers, right? Whereas in years past, he got his opportunity and he would just go out there and send it. And if nothing else, we know that Joe Flacco will step into that mindset willingly. He will absolutely uncork it. He does not care about a single interception. And I think just a more aggressive stance from the quarterback will be a good thing for the offensive players in a game script that probably every week they'll be close to a double-digit underdog, right? So should be throwing a lot. If he's not afraid to unleash it, that means good things for the guys that he's targeting.
I think Chase Brown honestly gets the biggest bump of the three offensive pieces. Just like you said, you know, Jake Browning is kind of like throw it anywhere. You know, he'll try and force it in. No problem with that. And Joe Flacco, older guy. We saw him what he did with Dylan Sampson there at the very beginning of the season, like willing to check it down, willing to dump it off. And I think that might give Chase Brown just enough of a floor where we feel safer about playing him. It's not like, all right, he's sitting on my bench and do I willing to start him? I think it's now back in that flex worthy conversation. Jamar Chase is the hardest one for me. I get it. I do think that he can perform with Flacco, but it's like, at what cost? Like is him giving you 50% spike weeks and 50% duds really worth him having, you know? So like I'm willing to trade Chase. T. Higgins, though, I've been saying drop him in 10-man leagues since, you know, the Joe Burrow injury. 12-man leagues, I could see being able to – needing to have him. But I just – I don't know. The offensive line is still crap. It is absolute crap. And in this game against the, you know, the Packers, Joe Flacco might be on his back for half this game, you know?
Yeah, he could. I'll co-sign on the idea of dropping T. Higgins in 10-man leagues. I think 12 is probably a bridge too far. And I will offer a word of warning that just on name value alone and the general overreactive nature of fantasy managers, you might be able to get something for T. Higgins before you just completely cut him loose out to the wild. For sure. Chase obviously has that name recognition factor exponentially higher than T. Higgins. So if you're over it and you want to move on, I think you can get decent returns. Honestly, I sneaky love the Chase Brown call among our QB list rankers. I am the lone holdout. I'm highest on him every single week, even though I am moving him down my ranks every single week. This opportunity and this role is just so insane, right? Currently third in the NFL in opportunity share. And it's not just like, oh, there's an amalgam of guys that are around the top five. He's north of 82%. Like in 2025, that is an absurd amount of workload. And we've got Joe Flacco coming in, who currently, even though he missed a handful of games or hasn't played a while there for Cleveland, currently ranked seventh in the number of check down passes in 2025 alone. He's checked it down 24 times already, despite only playing four games. So nice little arrow pointing up for Chase Brown for sure.
Yeah, I really like that. Like you talked about the workload through five games, running backs that have seen this workload or higher, nobody has less fantasy points than Chase Brown. And I get it. Someone obviously has to be at the bottom at some point. But if you look at it, just statistically, he should come up a little bit. Like they're going to score a touchdown at some point. I hope. So I guess rest of season, as far as not quite the rankings there, who would you be willing to tear down to with Jamar Chase? Like if you could get somebody that's willing to bite on this excitement before the Joe Flacco news, like would you Jalen Waddle? Would you rather have Jalen Waddle rest of the season or Jamar Chase?
I could make a case for Waddle and like a piece, right? It's tricky moving off of guys of Jamar Chase's stature, right? Mm-hmm. Because you probably spent the first overall pick in order to acquire him. So you're creating a vacuum in your wide receiver room by moving on from him. So you have to be looking at another top flight receiver at minimum. And then if you can flip around and get a depth piece or get a handcuff for one of your running backs or help bridge the gap on a bye week, I think Waddle plus is about the right territory.
I was going to say, I got Waddle 13th rest of season as far as my wide receivers go. I've got a lot of love for him, a little too much. That's why I started there. What about if you could get Garrett Wilson? Would you rather have Garrett Wilson or Jamar Chase?
I would rather have Garrett Wilson, our garbage time king, just finding the end zone in the last 5 minutes of every game. Dude. Super consolidated target distribution there in the Jets and another team that will be trailing a fair amount this year.
That one actually seems a lot closer to me just because it seems like a similar situation. Immense talent at the wide receiver position and hardly any the quarterback situation. But like you said, the target consolidation does just scream at you. 40% of Justin Fields' points have come in the final 8 minutes of the fourth quarter in games. Like that is ridiculous, the fact that like you can't watch those games. You're sweating for 3.5 quarters.
Oh man, they're my favorite games to watch on the stat tracker. Because I'm just watching them stuck in the mud for 3.5 quarters. And then the second we get to about 8 minutes left, I'm flipping over. They're on the big screen. They're on the main television in the household.
It is nice. You know when to watch the Jets. You know, it's just the last quarter. Exactly. That's all you need to watch. As far as we touched on the Chargers a little bit, let's talk Quentin Johnston here and the lad, the Keenan Allen. I guess Quentin Johnston also is dealing with a hamstring injury, but if he plays, how do you have them ranked at least going forward right now?
If anyone out there has our QB list rankings article pulled up, you will see very clearly that I just punted on this decision because I essentially have all these guys within like a spot or two of each other. I believe that I am the highest on Ladd McConkey of the three and of our rankers. I've got him up at 22, whereas I have Keenan Allen a little bit further down and Quentin Johnston kind of splitting the difference between the two. Keenan Allen's been a little bit more of a touchdown merchant, right? They've been looking for him in the end zone. He's among the leaders in end zone targets, despite not having all that impressive of a snap share overall. So he's probably the most clear regression candidate. If you look at empirical data, if I follow my vibes and my gut, I have to believe that Quentin Johnston just didn't suddenly remember how to catch the football as frequently as he has this year. Like, I'm just waiting for the other side of that coin to pop up, the other shoe to drop. And Ladd McConkey is still, despite having more teammates to share his target and workload with, still seeing pretty solid volume out there. So the thing for me with these pass catchers, until we see a definitive trend where we can say empirically, this is how the Chargers want to use them, they're all going to be kind of clumped together near the end of wide receiver two range for me. What I will say is that in light of the offensive line issues, in light of another catastrophic injury in the backfield, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Justin Herbert throw it a bit more, having already kind of outpaced himself in this Greg Roman offense so far through 5 weeks. So these guys as a unit could have their arrow pointing up, even though deciphering between the three is going to be maddening for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, probably.
Yeah, I'm same page with you. I kind of have seen an uptick for Herbert. I bet he turns into like a little bit more Patrick Mahomes as far as the rushing goes this year. And then also I think Ladd and Keenan Allen are jumping up drastically as far as my overall ranks for them. I think they're going to have to use the ball a lot closer if, you know, they can't get the running game going. QJ, his chances of getting those deep, you know, those developing routes, I don't know how much of they get with that if this offensive line cannot stack up. Three tackles down, and then their center is just atrocious right now. So it's rough out there. But Keenan Allen or Ladd McConkey, better days are coming. Better days are coming, folks.
No doubt.
Just a few more wide receivers I wanted to touch on here. We've got a gross little clump as far as the Khalil Shakirs, the DJ Moores, Calvin Ridley, and Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams, he's hurt you 4 or 5 weeks. It's a great matchup. A lot of over-under. You're going back to the well.
I am not going back to the Jameson Williams well because that implies that I ever went there in the first place. I have been one of the most violent faders of Jameson Williams out there. He is like the poster child for me of like the difference between real-life football impact and fantasy football impact, right? He is bordering on the straw that stirs the drink in this Detroit Lions offense, but in the fantasy context, it's pretty close to a sacrificial X, right? He's just out there running wind sprints and not getting a whole lot of targets. He will boom for you periodically every 3, 4 weeks. If you have him, you just kind of have to commit to putting him in your roster, hoping that this is that week, but knowing that you're also going to hit some downswings on that. This might be the grossest thing I've said in front of a microphone in the last, I don't know, week.
Oh, nice.
Of this group, it's probably Calvin Ridley. His role is the most stable of this group. And while he's been struggling to get on the same page with Cam Ward, when they do get on the same page, he is hitting pay dirt. He is number 6 in the league in explosive plays among wide receivers. So as we see them really establish that rapport, I think we're going to see more of these misses turn into catches. And then all of a sudden, Calvin Ridley is off to the races, right? His current catch rate is 44%. When it's adjusted for catchable passes, it goes all the way up to 71.4%. So to me, that says it's much more of a timing, rhythm, rapport consideration with him and Cam Ward than it is a lackluster role or a guy like Shakir who's on the field for like a little better than a third of snaps, right?
Yeah, I think too something should be like reminded. This is Cam Ward's first five games ever he's played in the NFL. He started against Denver. He had the Rams. Colts aren't too shabby. You know, a division game as well. Another division game against Houston is a good defense. So we've seen flashes, and that's all we were looking for. That's all we were looking for, flashes. If you were depending on Cam Ward propping up fantasy players, that's on you. Like, that's on y'all. Like, I guarantee that you nobody
completely on you. And those flashes are – they're the good kind of flashes. Oh, they're the like hair standing up on the back of your neck kind of flashes. He's one of my favorite guys to go float some low ball offers to in those dynasty streets. Cause I think that he's shown enough to where I am optimistic, and I am generally not optimistic about incoming rookies. They really have to prove something to me. So his stock out in the market is pointing down, and I'm trying to go out there and get him cheap while I still can.
Right there with you. DJ Moore coming off the bye week. Roma Dunze has got 5 touchdowns in only 4 games. He seems to be the guy right now. DJ Moore has been just disappointing playing the second Monday night game. Do you want to start him? Like, I get some people might have to, but like, he's gotten double digit points PPR only once so far this year. So like, he's kind of like almost waiver wire fodder for me.
He is right there. And that point where he got those double-digit points, he bailed out his day with a touchdown. 4 mm-hmm. catches for 21 yards, because one of them happened to be in the back of the end zone, got him to 12.5 points, essentially. I am very worried about DJ Moore, both in terms of his rest of season prospects, but also specifically the context of this matchup in particular. When he's out there, he's going to see more of Marshawn Lattimore than anyone else. This is obviously not the Saints version of Marshawn Lattimore now that he's suiting up for the Commanders, but he is clearly their best cover corner. So he has the most difficult individual matchup. And moreover, I'm always the guy. Don't listen to what beat reporters say. Don't even listen to what coaching staff say. Watch what they do. This is a coaching staff in a front office that went out and spent ridiculous draft capital acquiring the services of Colston Loveland and Luther Burden III. And usually coming off of a bye week, that's where you see a little bit more of an install for these rookie offensive players to be rolled out. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is potentially kind of the changing of the guard week in terms of the pecking order among pass catchers in Chicago.
Yeah, Luther Burden hit waiver wire episodes on all sorts of podcasts because we've seen little bits and pieces, little flashes here. Colston Loveland, I don't know if we ever get to the point that we actually want to stream/start him at all as far as this year in fantasy football. Cole Kmet, he's got at least 3 more touchdowns in him this year, at least, and it's going to annoy the crap out of you. But that gut feeling, like when it starts talking to you, I feel that Colston Loveland anytime touchdown this week. We are going to see them worked in there. They spent a top 10 pick on him this year. They're going to look horribly if they don't come out of this bye week and start utilizing them in some way. Now, do they actually be fantasy relevant? I don't know, but we need to see more.
And that's the point, right? Like, it would be one thing if DJ Moore was, you know, pushing for 25%, 20% even target share, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking about a few more schemed up looks and opportunities for the young guys. With DJ Moore sitting over here, essentially, quote unquote, commanding a 16% target share, one or two looks going to Burden or Colston Loveland can have DJ Moore putting up a 3 spot for you, right? So like, it is very much so a bad to worse type of circumstance for DJ Moore.
And Luther Burden, I didn't have him ranked number one as far as this wide receiver class, but he was my favorite wide receiver coming out of this class. Just, he's got that twitch, man. He's got that twitch in him, and I'm excited to see him out there as a full-time player.
He's been a roller coaster ride for me because I wasn't particularly bullish on him as a prospect. You're right, athletic freak of nature. Like, that twitch always just jumps off the page, and it's fun to watch. But man, if he didn't fall into the perfect set of circumstances for a guy with his skill set, like the second they drafted him, I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm a Luther Burden guy now, because this couldn't have gone better for him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm trying to think here. Oh, last thing I want to get your thoughts on. Mac Jones should be the starter for San Francisco. Ricky Pearsall is probably going to miss the game. Juwan Jennings, it's up in the air, but looking like he should play. Do you have a favorite between Jennings and Bourne?
It would be Juwan Jennings, right? The knock against Juwan Jennings through his time as a 49er has really been his ability to take and stay on the field, right? When he's out there, he very much so is a fantasy asset and a dynamic weapon. Even if it is him, running alongside Kendrick Bourne coming off of that breakout game last Thursday night, I think that we will see Juwan Jennings hit his fantasy heights as long as he's healthy. And pretty much any week he's going to be out there, he's going to be among the wide receivers in the starting territory for me in our QB list ranks.
He was going to be top 30 for me. I just love Juwan Jennings, the way those first three targets went for him last year and even this year in that fully healthy game he had. But Mac Jones plays favorites, and he's got that rapport with Bourne, and I'm so nervous. Because last week I had DeMarcus Robinson ranked ahead of Bourne. In the process, it looked right. He ran more routes than Bourne. But, you know, the Mac Jones effect, he just tore it up with Bourne. So I'm a little nervous. I might have both of them a little closer to, like, both inside 48, the top 48 for me, just because I can't make a decision.
Yeah. I mean, this is also a common crutch of mine. If I am not super, super definitive between two guys, like, you're going to be ranked right next to each other.
I didn't do it last week. I separated them like by 20 spots, the two wide receivers. And it actually, I still think I finished top 7 in wide receivers, top 9 in wide receivers. So I don't know. Maybe it did work.
Top 20 overall. Who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting? Who's counting? That'll be your week next week, right? A couple of top finishers here. That's what you get from the QB list, folks. If you're checking us out, yeah, all of the
great. Well, we're 5 weeks in. We have 3 weeks inside the top 20 already.
Yeah, buddy.
Ranking squad's dialed in.
That's right. We got it. We're here for you, folks. Eric, you got anything else for the people? Any other players' games you want to talk about?
No, nothing that's top of mind. I'm looking forward to tapping back into this Giants game. It seems like we got a bit of a slugfest here. We will be updating the rankings that we've been picking through as we turn the page to tomorrow. So make sure that you're staying locked with the QB list. We'll be sending that out all over socials and be posted to the website as well.
Yeah, folks, that website is QBList.com. As you know, we've got the start sit articles, the what we saw if you missed some of those games. So we'll have that for you. Don't forget, check out the rankings. As Eric said, we'll be updating them tomorrow night as I'm saying that. Tonight as I'm saying that. This is Friday that you're listening to this. But yeah, check us out. We're doing it all for you. Thank you very much for listening. Leave us a comment, a review, all that fun stuff, and we'll see y'all next time.